Welcome to The Motivated Mind, where I challenge you to expand your perspective on how to achieve a successful life through motivational lessons, reflections, and interviews with other motivated minds. Welcome back to The Motivated Mind, a top 100 health podcast, thanks to each of you. This is episode 412, and I'm your host, Scott Lynch. If I brought you any value, please be sure to leave a review, hit that subscribe or follow button, and please be sure to share the podcast. Thanks for making The Motivated Mind part of your story. Having spent over a decade in the cannabis industry, I've witnessed many consumers, myself included, grappling with the overwhelming abundance of options and information available, especially when it comes to navigating the thousands of cannabis strains. It's like navigating a maze. And driven by this challenge, my team and I embarked on a journey 4 years ago to change this narrative. Our goal was to provide consumers with the data and education necessary to make informed decisions, enhance their cannabis experience, and ultimately improve their lives. Today, I'm grateful and happy to announce that we've launched HashDash, the world's first personalized cannabis matching platform that leverages over 637,000 cannabis strain data points to match you with your favorite cannabis that aligns with your unique preferences. Our platform centers around three key pillars: matching, community, and education. All three are aligned with our mission of empowering cannabis enthusiasts and newcomers alike, transforming confusion into clarity in the vast world of cannabis consumption. Say goodbye to the guesswork. Discover, learn, and elevate your cannabis experience with HashDash. Sign up for free at hashdash.com and find your cannabis match. That's HashDash.com. Research reveals that 82% of individuals lack an effective system for managing their time. So I did a little experiment over the last 30 days. I decided to time every single task, from taking a shower, brushing my teeth, to working out, and writing and recording this podcast. I timed every task down to the minute. And I did this experiment because so many of us struggle with time management. So many of us are terrible at managing our workday, planning projects, at managing our most valuable asset, our time. And because of this, we perpetually miss deadlines, we miss opportunities, or the compounded effects of stacking progress. It's like clockwork. We set an intention, we define a timeline, and we give ourselves more time than we think we need. Yet, the deadline flies by like it's the Roadrunner from the Looney Tunes, and as that blur of feathers goes speeding by, we think to ourselves, didn't I just go through this yesterday? Why are we often so terrible at planning? How can we finally hit our deadlines? How can we start to experience the compounded effects of stacking progress? Well, I wanted to explore these questions. So I took to a good old experiment like I was in science class in middle school. Now, I could have simply timed everything via my iPhone or my Garmin watch, but I wanted something a bit more robust. I wanted a timer that would not only make this process less painful, but give me reporting on how I'm specifically spending my time. Now, luckily, I already had a time tracker app. I know, you're probably shocked. Well, I primarily use this tracker for business purposes, but for the purpose of this experiment, it was a perfect fit. The app I use is called Time, T-Y-M-E. I'll link it in the episode notes if you want to check it out. Now, technically, this app is designed for work-related projects. As I mentioned, I use this almost exclusively for my businesses. But considering how long I've been using it, I knew it would work equally well for all of the tasks in my life. Before I start any task, I simply hit the play button beside the project that I've defined. Now, again, in this case, as opposed to a project, I wanted to focus on tasks. So I'd simply hit done or stop the timer when I was done with that particular task. What was really nice about using this app for this specific experiment is that I had a calendar view. This allowed me to see all the tasks performed in a given day, broken down via category or task, and the distribution of hours across those tasks. This gave me a breakdown of how I was spending my time. Now, besides getting a clear picture of where all my time was being spent, I also got a clear picture of how long each of my daily tasks consumed my time throughout each day. Why go through this with so much detail, though? Because recording all of these times allowed me to understand how I spent my time across each task and how long each task took, which allowed me to set myself up for greater success because I now know how much time I need to give myself for tasks moving forward. After just a couple of days of tracking, I started to put together a pretty good system. For example, I thought that creating hundreds of unique tasks would be really confusing and time-consuming. So instead of creating a bunch of separate tasks like reading or watching TV and so on, I created categories which included work, sleep, preparing and eating food, quality time with family, doing chores, strength training, hygiene, and of course, toilet. Now, the nice thing is that I have time on my laptop and phone, which meant I was able to record things while being stationary or on the go. Right when you open Time, either on your laptop or phone, you see your most recent tasks. And if you want to start up a new one again, all you have to do is press the play button and the task is started again. It's super simple. And not only that, it saved me a lot of time tracking. So weird to say that out loud. It saved me a lot of time tracking my time. But in all seriousness, it gave me a more clear and useful view of how I was spending my time. Douglas Adams once said, "I love deadlines. I love the whooshing noise they make as they go by." For small projects to multi-billion dollar developments, so many of us struggle with deadlines. So much so that behavioral psychologists even have a name for it. It's called the planning fallacy. The planning fallacy is a cognitive bias first proposed by Nobel laureates Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky, and it refers to the tendency for individuals to underestimate the amount of time, cost, and risks associated with future actions and overestimate the benefits or rewards. In other words, we suck at setting deadlines. Now, we might fall into the planning fallacy for a number of reasons. It could be that we're overly optimistic about how easy something will be for us. For me, that could look like I've made over 400 podcast episodes before, so this one will be a breeze. Or we fail to consider unexpected events, like the town grading our road and our entire house is shaking like there's an earthquake, making it nearly impossible to think and record. Or we lack relevant information, like writing and recording a podcast on one of the most resilient human beings in history, which takes a lot of digging and research in order to overcome the planning fallacy. There are some things that we can do. You may already know about my private coaching program, which offers tremendous benefits. However, there's another approach worth exploring: group coaching. This type of coaching emphasizes systems thinking, fostering skills in reflection, reframing, questioning, problem solving, and time management, all on top of encouraging relationship building and dismantling internal silos. Well, I'm thrilled to introduce my group coaching program, where we'll meet twice a month, every first and third Friday, for 45-minute video sessions. Prior to each session, I'll present a key theme and a thought-provoking question of the week. During our sessions, I'll share insights, hacks, and methods related to the week's topic, fostering a free-flow conversation where questions and personal experiences are welcomed. After each session, you'll receive engaging assignments linked to the theme. These assignments will be shared on our group coaching Discord channel, allowing everyone to provide feedback and engage in a dynamic, interactive experience. Join me for a coaching experience that blends strategic insight and meaningful connections by clicking the link in the show notes. I'm excited to announce that I've teamed up with Supercast to create a more robust and easy-to-access premium membership platform for listeners of this podcast, which will replace my current paid subscriber program through Spotify. Starting in January 2024, by subscribing to the Motivated Mind Plus, you will get access to a range of exciting perks, including access to 2 exclusive bonus episodes every month across all platforms now, ad-free listening across all platforms and new episodes, access to my members-only Discord channel, and exclusive discounts on my courses and premium newsletter subscription on Substack. All of this is available to you for only $5.99 a month. And don't worry, you can still listen to my regular 2 episodes per week for free forever. This transition will enable me to offer a wider range of features and benefits, all aimed at enhancing your engagement with my content, including being able to now access bonus episodes across Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcast platforms. Most importantly, your subscription directly supports the podcast and the content I create by making future shows possible. Click the link in the show notes to subscribe today. One in particular is called reference class forecasting, which isn't nearly as complicated as it sounds. Basically, the next time that you go about setting a deadline or starting a project, don't just go with your gut. There's always a time and place for that, but here is not one of them. Instead, look at similar projects that you've completed in the past first. Analyze how long it typically takes you to complete a project like this, and try to fully understand the challenges that you might encounter along the way. This approach helps to ground our predictions. It grounds our predictions in real-world data and experiences, and this is exactly what brought me to timing every task. When you look at the calendar view of all my tasks, it looks like a rainbow comprised of 8 different colors. Now, I did notice something interesting the moment that I started timing every task. I became much more aware of how I was spending my time. let's just say that when you start a timer, the moment you enter the bathroom, you're less likely to spend 20 minutes browsing Instagram. The simple act of tracking started to change my behavior. It's the exact same reason habit trackers, calorie counters, and working logs are so effective. They're habits that keep your other habits going. Now, as extreme as it is to start and stop a timer all day long, it helped me to stay even more accountable. It brought greater awareness to how I spent my time each day. And some of the data was fairly embarrassing. After my first week, the thing that really stood out to me was the amount of time I was working. I logged 61 hours of work in the first week. I've always known that I've worked a lot because I enjoy what I do, but I would prefer to spend more quality time with my family because everything I do, what good is it all if I don't take advantage of the resources it's brought me? Being a business owner and a new parent creates a unique juggling act that I have not experienced before. And so, I have to really work hard and be very intentional with my time. Sharing that valuable asset with my priceless assets. And that's yet another reason to start better tracking my time. The good news is, now I have this baseline to work with, which will allow me to build upon it. A big question I asked myself was, how can I change my behavior in the coming weeks to improve the amount of time that I'm spending with family? Looking at the data, one area that I knew I could improve was taking advantage of my breaks. I generally try to work for 52 minutes and then take a 17-minute break. During that break, I'll normally grab a snack or break away from technology, just staring into nature. And while both are healthy, a more healthy way to spend that time is with my daughter. Playing with her in her room or going for a quick walk, I could get quality time with her while getting fresh air, experiencing new scenery, and getting some exercise. I committed myself to her in those 17-minute windows throughout the day and on top of our evenings together. The timer was my accountability partner. I knew from past experience that was a really good way to stay focused on the present. Now, again, this kind of tracking is incredibly tedious, and it added a layer of friction to everything that I did. But I'd be lying if I said it wasn't effective. I started to get in more quality time with my daughter throughout my day. And those 17-minute windows, they added up. Now, 30 days is a long time to track something or anything. Never mind tracking one thing, but a bunch of things. But now, I have my life represented in data. And as I always say, better data leads to better decisions. And this data taught me a lot. Now, keep in mind that these numbers don't perfectly add up to a 24-hour day because I didn't do a perfect job of timing every task. But nonetheless, it's really decent data. If you're curious, I logged 720 hours, 17 minutes, and 34 seconds over the course of the month, which means that there were around 10 hours unaccounted for. Not bad, all things considered. So, over the past 30 days, I have dedicated 34.79% of my time, or 8 hours and 21 minutes per night, to sleep. I've made sleeping a priority for quite some time now. My sleep quality has been pretty good considering our daughter is only a year and 2 months. Shout out to my incredible wife who wakes up at 4 a.m. to give her milk. Next, I spent 29.5% of my time working. That ends up being 7 hours and 5 minutes per day. So I can definitely say that the adjustments I made after that first week made a really big difference over the 30 days. Now, a clarifying point. I work for myself, so I set my own schedule, something that I'm extremely grateful for. This also means I do not have a normal Monday through Friday schedule. I work when I need to work, irrelevant of the days, because my businesses and my teams count on me. So it doesn't matter if it's Friday night or a Saturday or a Sunday, if things need to get done, I need to get them done, irrelevant of what the calendar says. This also just means that I need to be that much more intentional about my time. Next up was family time at 28.33%, an area I looked to improve the most over that month. That ended up being about 6.8 hours per day. This is really anything that I would consider quality time with my wife, Mel, or my daughter, Ainsley. Now, I still know I can improve in this area. And now that I have data that shows progress, I can use this momentum to further improve. For the rest of the task for the total month, I spent 9 hours strength training over the 30 days. This has gone up a bit over the past 2 months since I've challenged myself to do 100 push-ups and sit-ups for 100 days straight since February 27th. On top of strength training, and since really August of last year, strength training has become a non-negotiable for me. Next was 4 hours of chores, nearly 14 hours of preparing and eating food. This is an area where I'm spending much less time given my wife and I love subscription meal companies like Factor and Dinnerly. It's just one of the small ways that I save time every day, especially with the additional responsibilities of being a parent. And my wife loves to cook. Next was 18 hours for hygiene, 3.5 hours of personal time. This is another harsh reality of being a parent. You just have very little time to yourself and need to really make yourself and your spouse a priority, or else it gets away from you really quickly. And finally, 4 hours on the toilet all month. I know, really specific. For the record, I think my hygiene and that toilet number are lower than reality and account for the imperfect tracking I mentioned earlier. Overall, I believe this is a really accurate summary of how my time gets divided up any given month these days. Now, if you want to try this experiment for yourself, I have a few important takeaways that might help. First, only track the important stuff. My experiment was somewhat extreme, if you didn't catch that. It was fun for a short-term experiment, but the reality is that I only needed to track the things I wanted to learn about. If I were to do this again, I might just track my work task and personal tasks. Knowing that I spent 4 hours on the toilet all month isn't exactly useful information. So, protect your creative time. Protect your personal time. Protect your family time. Protect your time in general. Be intentional with it. It's our most valuable asset that is slowly fading away each day. And most of us give it away without even thinking. We treat it as an endless resource. Most of us lack a clear understanding of how we currently utilize our time, which puts us at a significant disadvantage when we want to adjust how we utilize it moving forward. The time we have is all that we've got. Start treating it as the precious resource that it is. Because if you do, you'll start to experience the compounded effects of stacking progress. Thanks for listening to The Motivated Mind with your host, Scott Lynch. I hope you enjoyed my deep dive into how a stopwatch is making me more productive. If you did, share it, shout it out on social media, or drop a rating and review. Stay connected with me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Motivated Scott. Don't forget to join me every Monday and Thursday for new episodes. I love you all, and thanks so much for listening. The Motivated Mind is a Legacy Division.